the end.
Well, and I greet each one of you in the precious name of Jesus this morning. It's been 6 months since I've been up here. And specifically, us men know what happens when we park a truck or a tractor for 6 months. We start it up, there's some creaks and groans, and there's some smoke. We hope that's not what happens this morning, so I'm coveting your prayers this morning. God is good. This morning I've titled my message, An Invitation to the Table. And I want to clear the air real quick here this morning. We've talked a lot about communion, about the communion table. And I want you to know this morning, that's not where we're going. So let's all rest at ease knowing that is not the discussion this morning. But there's another table this morning I'm going to talk about. I'd like for you this morning to take your Bibles. I have nothing on the overhead. So if you would take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel 13, we're going to spend quite a bit of time this morning in 1 and 2 Samuel. Three weeks ago, Tom shared about the importance of reading the Bible, of getting into the Word. And 2 weeks ago, Tyrell shared about prayer. A lot of what I have to say is going to echo all of that. The table that I'm referring to this morning is the table of fellowship that we have with our Father. And I hope I come across clear as to what I'm saying, as to what I'm calling a table this morning. If we go back into the Old Testament, we find that God had set up a place in the tabernacle. We had the holy place where you go into. And then there were four posts that were driven into the ground, and there was a very heavy curtain that was mounted on, put onto these four posts. Behind that curtain is what he called it, the Holy of Holies. That's where the ark was. That's where the mercy seat was. And that's where God said, I will come down in smoke, in a cloud, and I will be there to speak to you in that place. It's where he told Moses, tell Aaron, when he goes in there, to be cautious. Go in clean. Go in to offer a sacrifice for your sins, and also a sacrifice for the sins of the people. That was the Old Testament. Now we're in the New Testament, in the New Covenant. And in this covenant, Jesus is hanging on the cross. And as he's hanging on the cross, he's just about to take his last breath. In a loud voice, he says, "It is finished." Somebody tell me what happened to the curtain. It was torn from top to bottom. Now Jesus opens it up for us to come into him. I get chills when I think about that. He opens it up for us to come in and to commune with him one on one. That is the table this morning that I want to talk about. 1 Samuel 13, verse 13. Here we have Samuel. He's a king. Samuel had decided to take things into his own hands. He was supposed to wait. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Saul was king. Saul was to wait on Samuel to come make a sacrifice. Saul got impatient, took things into his own hands, and made a sacrifice. Samuel comes to Saul and tells Saul this. He says, Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee, for now would the Lord have established thy kingdom forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. One of the things I've been doing in the last 4 months or so is I've been going through 1 and 2 Samuel and digging into the life of David. I want to know why God called him a man after his own heart. So I've been doing a lot of digging, and this morning I'm going to share with you what I found. There's others that found different things, but I'm going to share with you in the message this morning what I found. All of us would love when we come stand before the Father, when Jesus presents us to Him, that the Father would say, yes, this one. This is a man or a woman after my own heart. It's not going to happen automatically. Let's look at the life of David for a bit. David begins his journey as a young boy. He's out in the field. He's with the sheep. That's his job. One day somebody comes out and tells him, David, you are to come into your tent. David leaves the sheep. He goes into the tent. I'm guessing he's a bit smelly because he's been with the sheep. He's probably got this out-of-door smell on him. He walks into the tent and hears all his brothers, his family collected. But there's another man with him. The prophet Samuel is in there with him. Let's go to 1 Samuel 16. We're going to look at verse 13. And I'd like to hear your pages rustle this morning. Thank you for following along. 1 Samuel 16, verse 13. As David walks in, Samuel looks up and he says, yes, that's the one. And here's what happens. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. How special is that? He anoints him as a future king. And then he receives the Spirit. It came upon him. God calls you and I for a special work. He called David here for a special work. Sometimes we get the idea we're not called. All we do is come to church and sit on the bench. Can I tell you this morning that God has called each one of us to a special work? He wants something out of your life. He receives glory from our lives if we follow through. But guess where you're going to find out what that special work is? It's at the table. As we come and we meet with Him and we get into the Word and we seek His face, He begins to speak to us and He gives us direction. I want to remind us this morning that God knows us, that we're precious to Him. And He wants that relationship. He wants that connection. He wants us to meet Him at the table. Let's go a little bit further. We see David again. He's out taking care of the sheep. A very, very familiar story. As he's out taking care of the sheep, again, a messenger comes to him. And he says, Dad says you're supposed to take some food. And you're supposed to go over where the army is, the Philistines and the Israelites and the Philistines are fighting. He had three brothers that were in the Israelite army. He said, Dad wants you to take this bread, whatever the cheese, whatever you had, go check on them. Take that along with you. It says David got up early in the morning and he left. Turn to 1 Samuel 17. We're going to go just a bit further here. David goes there and he finds out there's a Philistine there, a giant, Goliath. Goliath was not a beautiful person. I'm not talking about looks now, I'm talking about heart. Goliath did not have a beautiful heart. He did not like the God that the Israelites served. As a matter of fact, he was telling them, would you come out and fight with me? I want to take one of your men and I want to destroy him. I'm going to show you that the God that I serve is the real God. And David shows up. Why do you think David would want to step in and take Goliath out? Because David knew his God. David had proved when he was out in the field taking care of the sheep that God was there. The power of God would deliver him. 1 Samuel 17, verse 45. David now is ready to go out and fight Goliath. He's going down to the brook. He's picked up five smooth stones. He has his sling. And as Goliath comes at him, this is what David said. Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. David had a confidence because he had proved his God. You know what I find myself doing? So many times when I face a giant, and we all face giants, so many times when I face a giant, I find myself asking God, can you please remove the giant? Is there a possibility today that we are weak Christians for the idea that we ask God to remove the giant from us? Is there a possibility that because we don't face those giants, and I think God hears us, I think sometimes he does what we want. Is there a possibility that we are not facing those giants, and because of that we become weak? David didn't ask God to remove the giant. He knew what he was facing. What would happen today if the giants that we face, we would ask God, God, here's a giant. And we can all think of a giant in our lives. If we would ask God, God, here's a giant. I need your strength. I need your direction. You are mightier than this giant. Please help me win in this battle. This is what David did. He faced him with confidence. And I believe God today wants to guide us in our battles. But we're going to find this strength at the table. Let's continue. We see David. Again, Saul, the king Saul, is mad at David. And he begins to try to take David out. He wants to kill him. And this happens over and over. We know the story well. One day David is out with his men. They're hiding in a cave. He knows Saul is on the outside. King Saul is out there and he's coming at him, trying to kill him. Here David's hiding out in the cave. And all of a sudden, Saul steps inside the cave. Mother Nature calls. Saul steps inside the cave to relieve himself. David has a perfect opportunity to take him out. Matter of fact, some of the guys told him, this is God, he's given it to you. Saul steps back out. Yes, David did cut a part of his robe off. Saul steps back out and he starts walking away, and David called after him. Chapter 24, verse 10. David says this, behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord hath delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave. And some bade me kill thee, but mine eyes spared thee, and I said, I will not put forth my hand against my Lord, for he's the Lord's anointed. And David honored his God. He said, I will not go against the king because you are anointed of the Lord. These are just a couple of examples of David's life, how he lived. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 27. And I found as I was studying, as I was looking into the life of David, when I went to the Psalms, it just clarified the picture. There's so much in the book of Psalms that says what was in David's heart. And we're not sure when this Psalm was written, but we know it was when David was looking for deliverance, or maybe he found deliverance. We're going to read four verses. I'd love to take the whole chapter or the whole psalm. We're just going to read four verses. We'll start with the first three. Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Imagine David saying this after all the stuff that he's been through. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So much confidence in his God. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. He was confident in the fact that his God was his direction, his light, his salvation. He was his strength. Then we go to verse 4. And here I believe is the key. Why David was a man after God's own heart. This is David again speaking. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. What's the one thing? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David was focused on relationship with his father. We're going to get into this just a bit deeper closer to the end. But David was focused on relationship with his father. How was he going to have that relationship? By meeting at the table. How are we going to have that relationship today unless we meet at the table? I want to share three things this morning that are going to share that will show us a little bit in our personal walk where we are at in seeking God's heart. How diligent are we? The first one I want to talk about is my time. What do I do with my spare time this morning? If I have time throughout the week, what's my spare time? What am I doing? My spare time tells a lot about who I'm serving. Excuse me. It tells a lot about what direction I'm heading. Think back over this week. Excuse me. Think back over this week on your spare time. What did you do in your spare time? What was your focus? The second way we want to think about is our finances. My finances say a lot about my desires, about my goals in life. The third one is my relationship with those around me. What are my relationships with those around me? Do I want to bless somebody? Am I sharing Christ with those around me? So we looked a little bit at David's story, but there's one part of David we missed. Somebody know what it is? David wasn't perfect, was he? There was a day when David had a lustful thought. He allowed that to stew within him and he acted upon it. And because of that, another man's wife became pregnant. I'm speaking a bit bluntly this morning. But David gave in to lust. And because of this, David tried to hide his sin. Isn't that just like we do? Maybe it's not a sexual sin. Maybe it's just another kind of sin. But we want to hide it because there's pride there. We don't want to look bad. Can I tell each one of us this morning, this is not finger pointing. But we're all there, aren't we? We're all at a place from time to time where we fall short. And it's a big, big temptation to hide it. David tried to hide it. And he did for a while. And it didn't stay with that. Now David sends Bathsheba's husband to the front lines. And he's killed. Now David's guilty of murder. See, it didn't stay with just one thing. It continued to move. I don't know what David's relationship with God was during that time, but I find for myself when I harbor sin in my life that I'm trying to hide, the table is no longer fun. I come to the table and there's something missing. God sent a prophet. He sent the prophet Nathan to David. And he said, "Your sin isn't hidden. We know about it." Why did David not make excuses? Why didn't he blame Bathsheba? She was outside taking a bath. Why didn't he say that? You know what David said? Six words. He says, "I have sinned against the Lord." David was repentant, not because he got caught, but because he dishonored his God. He had a tender conscience. And David repented. But there's a law of sowing and reaping that goes with sin. And because of this, the child that was in the womb was born and died. David again comes to the table. And he found out it was a table of grace. Friends, I find out when we fall, when we sin, there's always a table that's there that we can come to. It's a table of grace. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just.
There's a justice there, friends. If we don't repent, we don't want to take a part in. But he's faithful and he's just. To do what? To forgive us and to cleanse us. That's beautiful. I don't know if you've experienced that this morning. I hope you have. He forgives us and he cleanses us. I was at a men's conference here a couple of months ago. There were 60-some men there. At this conference, there was a man that spoke. He spent all his time, right now he's spending all his time working with young men. Young men that are falling into sexual sins. And this is what he said, and it just struck me so hard. He said, we have a pandemic today. He said, we are losing our leaders, our future leaders, to pornography. He said, it's a pandemic, and he wasn't talking about COVID. I want to give you some verses this morning, young men. And here's the fact. It's no longer just young men. It's us middle-aged guys. It's the older guys. And it's not just guys anymore. No, it's ladies too. It's a widespread issue we have in America today. Listen to these three verses that I want to read to you out of Psalm 119. Verse 9, 10, and 11 say this. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I believe what he's saying in these verses is as we go back to the scriptures, as we spend time at the table, as we memorize scriptures, we take them within us. When we're faced with the temptation, we come back with those verses. Satan has to go. There's victory if we want it. It's there. But it takes commitment. It takes time at the table. David sinned. He's forgiven. He's still a man after God's own heart. One more story from David here. And I didn't share this. I was going to, but there's two tables I'm going to look at. No, the next one's not going to take us 20 minutes. The next one's pretty short. We're not going to turn to this next one, but in 2 Samuel 9, David now is looking. He says, I want to bless somebody. He says, is there anybody from Saul's family or Jonathan's family that's still living that I can bless? Somebody comes and says, yes, there is one. Mephibosheth, he's lame in the feet. David said, bring him. They brought Mephibosheth. He falls down in front of David to honor him. And David calls him by name. And he says, Mephibosheth, I'm going to give you back everything that Saul took from you. I'm going to give you back all your land. Plus, he said, I want you now to come and eat from my table. The king's table was always spread with good things. He said, I want you to come eat at my table from now on. Mephibosheth did. He spent a lot of time at the table with the king. Again, we have a table of grace, don't we? Today we're invited to eat at this table in the very presence of God. When we sat around the table on Thursday, Thanksgiving, we began with prayer. Then we passed around the food. We enjoyed the food. There was laughter. There was storytelling. There was community. There was communion with each other. That was at our table on Thursday. I believe that's what he's telling us. This table that we connect with, as we connect with the Father, there's tears, there's laughter, there's joy. Because we're connecting with Him. There's community. Romans 8 talks a lot about the Holy Spirit within us. There's a verse in Romans 8. I'm just going to read one verse here. Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So if I have the Spirit of God within me, I'm led by that Spirit. How do I find out what He wants out of my life? By meeting at the table, communing with Him. And it begins to speak into us, into our lives. But can I tell you that there's also a verse here I want to share real quick. Galatians 5:16 says we are to walk in the Spirit. That's action. I believe as we commune with the Spirit, it doesn't stay at that table. But as we live life every day, the Spirit's within us. Are we hearing the Spirit give us direction for our walk? I know it's something we don't talk a whole lot about. But I believe if we have ears to hear and we get in tune with the Spirit, we come into agreement with Him, He speaks into our minds and He gives us direction for our walk every day. I want to share with you a story of a friend of mine that lives in the city. This just happened not too long ago. Now, I shared this story with some of you already. But as he was pulling up to the gas pump, he felt the Spirit telling him, don't go to your normal gas pump, go to the next one. We hear stories of the Spirit speaking to those in other countries. He wants to speak to us right here in America. He took the other gas pump, and as he parked there, he heard the Spirit say, there's a lady next to you that needs your help. Okay, God, you direct me. So he gets out, he goes inside, and he pays for his fuel. He didn't know how this was going to play out, so he comes back out. And he's there getting his fuel, and all of a sudden he senses somebody behind him. So he turned around, and here's the lady. And she said, I need help. And then he told her, I know, the Holy Spirit just told me. And of course, her eyelids fluttered a bit. She said, I'm living in my car because of some circumstances that we won't go into. But she was living in her car. So they blessed her with finances. And then he told her, he said, my wife is sitting in the truck on the other side here. She said, can I go talk to her? I said, yes, please. She went around to the other side. And this guy's wife was able to minister to her. Now, this man had a decision to make. He could say, that's not the Spirit talking to me. That's just not coincidence. Or he could say, Lord, I'm hearing you. And I'm going to act on it. Can you think back over your life? This is not a guilt trip, friends. Can you think back over your life this week of a time when the Spirit spoke to you and you obeyed? Or maybe you didn't hear the Spirit. Maybe it's something we need to be working on in our lives to be able to hear the Spirit. He's within us. He wants to guide us. He wants to lead us. I told you there's a second table. I'm going to read really quickly out of Revelation 19. Just listen to me as I read here. This is John speaking. He says, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Friends, we have another table that we're invited to. And this table is for all of eternity. It's not a temporary table. There's a third table we're not going to talk about this morning. There's a third table we can feast at. I'll just name that one really quick. It's the table of demons. We don't want to be there. But this is the table that he invites us to come sit at for all of eternity at the feet of Jesus. But it takes something to be there. Isaiah found out what it was. Isaiah got a glimpse of God. And as soon as he got that glimpse, he says, I am undone. I am a man of sinful lips. I'm a man that hang out with people that aren't good. And instantly, the angel stepped in. He grabbed the tongs and he went over and he took a hot coal off of the fire. He took it over and he put it on Isaiah's lips. Isaiah was cleansed. And Isaiah volunteered to go work for the Lord right after that. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. David lived his life with one purpose, and that was to honor God, to make His name great, to glorify Him. There's also a phrase in that verse that says, to behold the beauty of the Lord. That's worship. Friends, we have love and we have worship. If we have true worship, there's going to be true love. They can't go separate. They're together. If we are serving God and we're operating out of the love that He put into our heart, we're sharing that love with others, there's going to be worship for God. You can't separate the two. What does Jesus see in my life today? What does He see in your life? So I'll leave you with this question. Are you enjoying your time seated at the table? If not, today's the day to begin. Let's stand this morning for prayer, and then after prayer, I'll ask Sheldon to come up here and share with us the offering. Thank you, dear Father, for this table that You prepared for us today. Father, we know it takes Your blood, Your Son's blood, for us to be clean and pure before You. Lord, all of us here this morning look good. We look like the blood has been applied, but God, You see our hearts. You know. We don't. God, this morning I'm just asking that Your Spirit would draw us close to You, that You would speak into our hearts. Lord, that we would have a hunger and a thirst to be at the table. Oh, God, we bless You. You're so merciful. We love You. And we commit ourselves to You. Bless this congregation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be